You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and here's a deep dive into one simple kitchen tool that'll totally inspiralize you to uplevel your plant partying big time. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am pumped that one of my favorite plant party products on the planet is sponsoring this episode. If you've spent but a few secs skimming my Instagram or binge watching my YouTube channel, which you should, by the way, if you haven't, but when you do, you'll see that Sun Warrior Plant Protein Powder is the Kanye to my West, the Bees to my knees, the Wilson to my Castaway, something I would not want to live without. When I'm looking for a way to make my smoothies actually fill me up so I don't need a follow-up snack a few minutes after finishing my smoothie, I blend in Sun Warrior because I don't want to get bloated, gassy, or feel crappy after consuming protein powder. I use Sun Warrior. Because I am not a fan of protein powders with weird, chalky textures and nasty flavors, I use Sun Warrior. See, it's no wonder I blend Sun Warrior protein powder into every smoothie I make and bake it into almost every baked good I bake. If you want some recipes for doing the same, head to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/partyinmyplants. Click subscribe and you'll get an epic, easy Sun Warrior plant protein recipe in your inbox every month. And if you want to get your mitts on Sun Warrior for 15% less than the rest of the world pays to get their mitts on it, just use the code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. Again, in case you sneezed as I said that, I said you can use code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on sunwarrior.com to save 15%, my friend. The end of the sponsorship thing. I mean, let's get into the meat of the episode, or not meat, the tofu of the episode. Hey there, I'm hard at work over here on some really exciting upcoming things, so I've chosen to re-air the very first ever interview I did on this here podcast 3 years ago. Woohoo! This is the perfecto chat to resurface because it'll serve as a powerful reminder of how and why to use your spiralizer, which is my top kitchen tool outside of my blender, of course. It'll also be a little ridiculous to hear my first ever interview when I was just a wee podcast hosting baby. I really should bring more games into my interviews nowadays. That was so fun. Anyway, here's my chat with Ali Mafucci, the queen of turning plants into noodles. She's the founder of the mega brand Inspiralize, the creator of the Inspiralizer tool, which is what I use to make my veggie noodles. She's the author of 3 best-selling cookbooks, the maker of 2 children, and the inventor of the Spiralize sweet potato bun. This is quite the Inspiralizing chat. I am so excited for this conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And before we spiral into it all, can you just tell me straight up, what is a spiralizer?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm very excited. So a spiralizer basically is just a kitchen tool that turns veggies and fruits into noodles.
It is so fun and so cool and the epitome of party in my plants.
Yes, definitely.
Totally. So can you tell us about your very first time spiralizing? Like, how had you heard of this totally under the radar contraption? I mean, which you've now brought completely mainstream, which is incredible. But what inspiralized you to pick it up and stick something in it and spin it into food?
Yeah. So, it actually starts with my mother. So I have to give her credit always. She makes me aware of that every day. So my mother was trying out raw veganism. She's a type 2 diabetic and she was trying the diet out to help with her blood sugar levels. And she discovered zucchini noodles and then later discovered how to make them, which is by turning a zucchini through a spiralizer. So she basically bought a random spiralizer online and she was using it and she was loving it. And she had me over for dinner one night and I tasted it. It was some raw Asian zucchini noodle dish. I took one bite and I just could not believe how much it tasted like actual spaghetti. I was really blown away, and I still am every time I have it. So I basically, like a bratty little daughter, I took her spiralizer from her and I was so excited. I'm like, I have to try this at home. So I brought it home and I made a dinner for my husband and I. And I was like, you know what, if you put a hot sauce on this and some cheese and maybe a little meat, like a protein, it'll probably taste just like spaghetti. And I'm Italian American, so I've eaten my fair share of pasta and spaghetti specials.
Yeah, you're legit.
So I made the dish and my husband had the same reaction as I did. So we basically went online that night and we're like, maybe we're late to the game. Maybe everyone's spiralizing and we're just catching on to it. And I looked online and there was about 2 recipes on the internet, which, you know, wow. If you Google it now, it's everywhere and everyone's spiralizing. So it was pretty amazing. And
what year was this?
So this is in March of March, April of 2013. That's okay. When I first discovered it. Mm-hmm. And I went online and I was basically 2 months later, you know, the long story short, 2 months later, I built up the courage to quit my job in corporate America. And I quit the next day. I went to a coffee shop and I bought inspiralize.com and I started blogging just to create a community and a resource around this fun, healthy way of eating that I had just discovered.
Boom. You were inspiralized.
Yes. Yes. I actually, that was a word vomit moment. I was sitting at dinner with my husband and I was just so, you know, I wasn't as happy in my job, my day job. And I was having so much fun cooking at night and writing recipes at lunchtime and during my breaks at work. And so I said to Lou, my husband, I said, you know what? I'm just so inspired to spiralize. It's like I'm inspiralized. So I wrote that down.
I love that. My party, my plants just hit me randomly at a meal too. It was just like, I want it to be fun. I love plants. It's like a party. Oh, party, my plants. And I ran I home that. The same way. And I was like, I bet it's taken. It has to be taken. And it wasn't. Same with you. So cool.
I love that.
So I also had been zoodling, you know, making zucchini pasta. You know, my foray into healthy eating way back in 2010 was through raw veganism. I discovered it and it completely changed my health and my gut, and I dove headfirst into being a raw vegan. And so back then, you know, making zucchini pasta was definitely a big staple in the raw vegan diet. So I had had a spiralizer since 2010 just for making zucchini and turning into pasta and under marinara sauce or a pesto or an Alfredo sauce from cashews. But for you, what's so amazing is that zucchini pasta is like a teeny tiny fraction of what you use your spiralizer for. So when did you realize that a spiralizer is good for so much more than just turning a zucchini into pasta?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically, my first love will always be zucchini because it just is so easy to spiralize. But what was happening was I was starting to create this resource around spiralizing and I was blogging these recipes, and I started my blog in late June. So it was summertime and zucchinis were everywhere. And then, you know, it started to get into fall and I was thinking to myself, oh no, my blog is going to die. There's no zucchinis in the winter. So I basically just, because of the seasonality, I went to the farmer's market in New York and I picked up every single large vegetable I could find that looked like it could be spiralized. And I pretty much just spiralized it. And the ones that worked, you know, I mean, most of them worked, luckily. So I just started building up my blog because I want it to be a place where people come and they get inspired. And zucchini noodles are wonderful, but I think they're kind of, you know, everyone knows you can spiralize zucchini. So I want to create a place where people are like, wow, I've never tried kohlrabi. What can I make with kohlrabi?
Yeah. That is,
yeah, just experimenting.
It's incredible. It's really amazing because it's so standard to do zucchini noodles, but you do the most unbelievable things with plants. It's wild. So
thank you.
I want to play a little game called Inspiralize That. And I'm going to say that, and you're going to say your favorite way to spiralize it.
Okay.
Cool.
Great.
So here we go. Apple.
Apple. I love spiralizing apples and topping them in oatmeal bowls. I do a peanut, almond butter and jelly oatmeal bowl with spiralized apples on top.
Oh man. So you make them into little like pasta shapes.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like spaghetti strands.
Yum. That sounds so good. Ooh. Okay. Beets.
Beets. I actually love ricing beets. So I spiralize them first with the spaghetti blade, and then I put them in a food processor, pulse them a few times until they become rice-like. And then I toss them with like an apple cider vinaigrette, and I make these really healthy, actually they're raw beet rice bowls.
Wow. So yeah, talk to me about the ricing for a second. How did you discover that this could be a thing? Because you literally turn all these spiralized plants, well, not all of them, but tell me which ones, into rice, which is incredible too.
Yes. So that actually it happened by accident. I was spiralizing and I was making a soup. And, you know, in the beginning of when I was starting in spiralize, I was doing as much as I possibly could. And a lot of trial and error was happening. And I basically one time went to make a soup during the fall or winter time. And I added butternut squash noodles into the soup and they disintegrated. So side note, you can't boil butternut squash noodles because they'll break apart.
Good to know.
But what happened, yes. But what happened was I looked in the pot and I said, wow, this kind of looks like a risotto or like a rice. This is really cool. What if I just made it into rice? So I tried right then. I put a butternut squash noodle into the food processor and pulsed it. And so now actually, and my husband says the same thing. He thinks that the rice is even more revolutionary than the noodles.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, like we said, noodles have been a thing for a while, but the rice is just mind-blowing. So you literally just will make it into like the pasta shape and then just pulse it a few times in the food processor and then you have rice?
Yeah, so I actually have a full YouTube video on how to do it, but it's so easy and quick. You pretty much spiralize it on the spaghetti blade and then you pack those noodles into a food processor and just pulse it and watch it turn into rice basically. So usually I only pulse it for maybe 3 seconds and then the rice is made. And then you can cook it, you know, in a skillet with a little olive oil and or you can make it raw if you can obviously eat the veggie raw. So it's really, really versatile and fun. I toss it into soups and things like that. And I find it much more fulfilling than cauliflower rice. I find cauliflower rice to be a little blah and like lifeless.
Yeah. We won't tell cauliflower rice.
No, we won't.
Okay, so back to our game. What about bell peppers?
Bell peppers. I mean, it's kind of boring, but a spiralized fajita bowl using spiralized bell peppers.
So when you spiralize something like a bell pepper, because I never would have even thought that that could be a thing, because I think spiralizing is strictly noodles, but like making into pasta. But I mean, I have your books and obviously I've been following your blog forever. And you also spiralize into like other shapes, not just the noodle. So what kind of shape, well, A, how did you figure out that that could be a thing? And B, what kind of shape would you do for a bell pepper?
Some vegetables are basically like, some vegetables can't be spiralized into a noodle, mm-hmm. but they can be shredded and sliced. So a spiralizer is technically a vegetable slicer. So things like cabbage and bell peppers and onions, you wouldn't really use them as a noodle. Like, would you ever eat an onion noodle? No. I mean, in a salad you would, but not as a pasta. That'd be kind of gnarly.
I bet you've tried it.
I haven't because it just sounds too terrible. But so with bell pepper, it's a very specific blade you have to use, and it's like a flat blade. It doesn't have any spikes sticking out. You basically spiralize it on that, and it effortlessly slices the bell pepper into like one continuous strand, which is amazing. Oh. Because when you slice a bell pepper yourself with your hand and a knife, mm-hmm. you never get even slices. There's always some that are chunky, some that are thin. Right. They're always uneven. So it's a really great way to just slice a bell pepper for something like, for instance, fajita night or something like that. And then onions, I mean, I can literally slice an onion in 3 seconds, which is amazing.
What?
And cabbage. Yeah, and cabbage, the same thing. It just slices so much easier than you would if you were doing it yourself.
Do you have videos for that we'll link to in the show notes?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Okay, so yeah. I definitely want to see that onion one. That sounds like a much less eye-tearing experience.
It is. It's much quicker. So there's less time to cry.
That's awesome. So it's kind of like you're using your spiralizer as a mandolin in a way.
Yes, exactly. It's using it as the veggie slicer, yeah. which its original intent was. Because originally, I mean, it was intended for garnishes in restaurants.
Yeah.
And like, especially, I'm from my research and from the people I talked to, it basically originated in Japan, sushi, mm-hmm. and doing like spiralized carrots on top of sushi and things like that. And then raw vegans caught a hold of it for the reasons you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of found it, not me. I mean, there's been other people who have helped publicize it, of course, but I found it at a time when only raw vegans were eating spiralized food.
So, okay, back to our game. Broccoli. How would you spiralize broccoli?
So broccoli is amazing. I love broccoli noodles. Basically what you do is you cut off the top, the florets, and then you spiralize the stem. And I love boiling broccoli noodles. I think the texture is like almost exactly like that of a whole wheat spaghetti noodle. So I just love spiral. You can really only spiralize broccoli with a spaghetti noodle because it's so tough to find a thick broccoli stem. So you kind of have to use the smallest shredding blade. But I love just boiling broccoli noodles and tossing them with any kind of sauce.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. And then you could just do whatever, you know, roast the head or whatever, the florette, right? You could roast it or I guess turn that into rice the same way you would cauliflower. Do people do that?
Yeah, I've done that actually. I did like a bruschetta bowl with riced broccoli florets and then the broccoli noodles in there. So you can, it's just such a great way to use produce. So you don't feel like you're wasting anything.
Yes.
And it honestly tastes delicious. They've already sold broccoli slaw in the store. So it's like a similar concept.
You're right. Yeah. I always feel bad for the stem. I always, you know, just kind of like the floret, roast those guys. And then I kind of just like put the stem in my fridge and then I kind of just wait for it to go bad. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I can't use this. See you later.
Right. Exactly.
So no more waste. Great. Okay. So butternut squash, what you're about to say, I assume is what sounds like the most amazing way in the entire world to be able to use butternut squash. Starts with an N and ends with a OS.
Oh, nachos.
In your book.
I know. I love that recipe so much that I haven't made that in a while. You're actually reminding me of it because I'm already focused on second book. So I have to make that again. But yes, butternut squash because you can get butternut squash in a large size, they slice into these like beautiful chips very easily. So I use them as nachos. But to be honest, I love just roasted butternut squash strands, like a thick fettuccine strand, and just tossing that with like kale and feta. And putting a fried egg on top, it's just like such an easy, warm sort of winter bowl of veggies.
Sounds amazing.
Plants. Yeah. But the nachos are great.
Yeah, that just sounded amazing. So you could just make the butternut squash into basically chips.
Yeah. So there's the same blade that I was talking about that slices bell peppers and cabbage. It's that same blade. And basically you just run the butternut squash. And because the butternut squash is so tough and large, as you spiralize, it's supposed to make ribbons, like with the zucchini, it would make ribbons, but because it's so tough, it actually just slices it into chips.
Hmm, that's perfect. That's convenient.
Yeah, it's just a fun way to use the spiralizer.
Is it ever too tough for you to spiralize? Do you ever have to get your husband in there or can you do all the veggies?
I could do all the veggies. I have actually a little YouTube series on the best, how to pick the best veggies for spiralizing because any huge, huge veggies, like, you know, you can really find a rutabaga that's twice the size of your head and that's awesome, but it'll just be really tough to spiralize. So I always tell people to get like medium-sized root veggies. Zucchini, go as big as you can go, but the tougher veggies, definitely you want to just keep them sort of medium-sized, but I've never had an issue.
That's good. Well, plus yeah. With your model, your own spiralizer, it clamps to the table, which
yes.
Really, really elevates the experience, makes it much easier. So it's sliding across your counter.
Exactly. And that was one of the features that I wanted to have in my own spiralizer because I was finding that those big, tough root veggies like sweet potatoes and butternut squash and even beets, they weren't spiralizing well because I didn't have the proper suction. So my in spiralizer has those counter clamps that really help give you better leverage.
That is so cool. That must make you so proud to see that in stores. I have it at my Williamsburg Whole Foods. I see it every time I'm in there. It's right there staring at me. It's so cool.
Ah, you know, I've been meaning to go to Williamsburg just for that reason, to check it out and take a selfie. So thank you for reminding me.
I can take a selfie and send it to you.
Please do.
That's really cool. You must have so much pride.
I do. I mean, I feel blessed every day. It's really an amazing feeling. And I really mean that genuinely.
That's great. That's so cool. Just with plants. Okay. So
yes.
We're on C now. Carrots. What do you do with carrots?
So carrots are actually there. It's another one that I love to boil the noodle because of the consistency, I don't know what it is about broccoli and carrots. Those are the only noodles that I recommend people boil. The rest of the time I say either roast or pan fry or pan sear in a skillet. I love boiling them. So just like a standard spaghetti noodle boiled or carrot rice is really amazing.
Wow. I've never boiled zoodles. I've sauteed them and I've obviously eaten them raw, but I've never boiled. So you can just boil a carrot noodle the same way, you know, bring the water to a boil, pop in the, you know, carrot noodles and then just cook them until it's soft with a fork.
Yes. And I find for whatever reason, again, something that happens in the process of when you boil it, it takes out the real sharp taste of the carrot. So it's a little more mild in flavor, which I really love. But that's definitely my favorite way to cook carrot noodles. I find that the consistency is really, really great.
I can't believe all this. I mean, I've been eating primarily plants for like over 6 years. And I feel like such a noob at all this. Like I've never boiled carrot noodles. What is wrong with me?
I think you're just fine. But yes, it's, well, listen, I sit here every day and I try to come up with creative ways to use and, you know, eat veggies. So, with the spiralizer. So I've had a lot of time to think about it, but I find a lot of people ask me questions about the best ways to prepare the spiralized veggies and the best way to use them. And I always discourage people from boiling them unless it's carrot and, and broccoli.
All right, cool. What about cucumber?
Cucumber, my new favorite way to eat a cucumber is either in spa water. It's just so pretty. Mm. Or I've been making these bowls with cucumber ribbons. So you spiralize in that largest blade, the ribbon blade. And I'll put something on top of it. In my second cookbook, I have a curried spiralized apple egg salad. So I'll put the apple egg salad on top of a bed of cucumber noodles, and the combination of the crunchy, refreshing cucumber with that egg salad, it's amazing. So I've been doing that a lot for lunches.
That sounds really good, really refreshing. And the spa water sounds so like elegant and fun.
Yeah, it's you know, you can also put it in a cocktail. So mm-hmm. I don't know if we're rated R or PG.
No, we're rated whatever. We promote cocktails.
right. So I'll do cucumbers and cocktails. And so a cucumber obviously is a pickle, right? Or a pickle is a cucumber. Mm. So I started spiralizing pickles and putting them on top of hot dogs and in Bloody Marys. I really love that as well.
Like an actual pickle you stick in the spiralizer.
Yeah, it's just a cucumber at the end of the day, you know?
You are too much. You're so creative.
Oh, it's thank so you. Fun. Again, I have a lot of time to think about it. So
cool, though. That's great. I love it.
Thank
so
you.
What about jicama? And first, can you explain what jicama is if someone's like jicama, come again?
Yeah, so it's actually originates or it's found in South America and Latin American countries. And it can be a little difficult to find up here or in the the Northeast. I know that it's really popular in Texas and California because I've had people write me saying that they find it in their farmer's market and I'm always jealous. But it's basically, it's a really great veggie to enjoy raw. It's like a refreshing, you find it in slaws a lot and things like that, or people do mashed jicama. But I love just putting it in a soup and letting it absorb the flavors in a soup. I have in my second cookbook, I have a tortilla soup that I add jicama noodles to. So it gives it like a little bit of a crunch. So you don't miss that, like the fried tortillas.
Yeah.
But it works really well in salads and slaws, and that's usually how it's consumed. It just has a really mild, almost cucumbery like taste.
Yeah. I love it. I usually enjoy it just cutting into chunks and dipping it in guac or something.
Oh yeah, definitely. I love that as well.
So good. Yeah. Quick little interrupt here, and don't fast forward because you will love this free thing. I have compiled a list, a free list, which you can download at partyinmyplants.com/booklist, one word, book list, that contains every single book recommended by or written by the guests of my podcast over the past 3 years. I wanted to make it easy as apple pie for you to eat up the words from all of the books that my guests over the past 150 episodes have said will inspire you in some awesome way. So I made you this free list with all of them. Go snag it at partyinmyplants.com/booklist and get your eyes feasting on healthy for your head stuff, or listen to the audiobook so you can get your ears feasting on it too. your ears absorbing it, right? Okay. Anyway, again, the list is at partyinmyplants.com/booklist. Did I mention it's footy? Okay, so what about onion? You already said you slice it kind of like you do a mandolin. So I guess we should just all look forward to watching your video on that. But what's your favorite way to use an onion that you spiralize in that manner?
Yeah, I mean, onions aren't the easiest to be creative with. So my favorite way is just to either toss them in a salad or I have a really good no cheese French onion. I guess you can't really call it a French onion soup because there's no cheese or bread in it. But it's basically a lentil onion soup with beef broth, and you could use veggie broth. And it starts, the base is a bunch of spiralized onions. So that'd be probably
that
my favorite.
That sounds great. Is that in one of the books?
That's in my second cookbook.
Cool. Okay. What about pears?
Pears, salads, or caramelize with coconut oil and cinnamon and have them in oatmeal or on waffles.
Yum. So you'd make that into a noodle shape.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Sounds good. Okay. What about sweet potato, which I actually recently fell in love with spiralizing? You know, I just make it into noodles and saute them in coconut oil and then eat them with everything. What do you love to do with sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes, I think it's a tie. Have you seen my spiralized buns?
Yes.
Okay. So that would probably be my favorite way to use sweet potato noodles. So pretty much you cook the sweet potato in the skillet and then you toss it with an egg to use as a binder. And then what I do is I pack them into ramekins and let them chill in the fridge. And then I basically use them as, I flip them into the skillet and sear them until they're firm and use them as open face sandwich buns, or I make little mini pizzas out of them. They're really, really fun. And people love those for partying, you know, having guests over and making little sliders.
How did you come up with that idea?
Well, you live in New York, so you might.
Are you going to say ramen burger?
Yeah.
I was going to ask. Yeah.
So I was at the Smorgasburg, which is a big, for people who don't know, a big food festival.
Around the corner from my apartment.
So you're in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Yeah. So it's a big food festival and they have a lot of cool vendors there doing creative stuff. And I noticed that this long line had formed and long story short, it was for this ramen burger, which is pretty much, you know, a burger in between two buns made with ramen noodles, which has the nutritional value of cardboard. It was crazy to me and I wasn't going to wait on the line. So I, you know, immediately when I saw it and I saw someone holding it, I said, oh my gosh, well, why don't you use veggie noodles? And then I experimented with a bunch of noodles and sweet potato was just the best flavor wise and binding wise. So I made my own little spiralized noodle bun.
That is so funny. That is so cool.
Yeah. It's kind of like a thick latke.
Yeah. Do you know how to make it without egg? If someone listening doesn't eat eggs, have you ever found a vegan version?
You keep reminding me, I'm keeping a little list as we talk. I need to try it with an egg replacer because I actually have not ever tried to do it with an egg
replacer. Interesting.
Yeah, but I will try that and let you
know. Yeah, please. Okay. And last but not least, you can't forget the zucchini. Do you have any passionate way? Or are you just basic, you know, the zucchini noodles?
You know, I wish I had a better
answer. That's okay. Simple is great.
I will say, I think my favorite recipe that I've ever really made with zucchini noodles is a ramen soup. Hmm. So instead of doing, I love spaghetti and meatballs. I have that once a week. I do these vegetarian meatballs that are actually my second cookbook that I put over zucchini noodles with the marinara. But I love ramen and I love zucchini noodle ramen. So my favorite way is to do it as a ramen soup.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, it's delicious.
Now, do you ever spiralize or spiralize? I keep using the words interchangeably, but do you make desserts or sweet treats? Because I've only ever thought of spiralizing, you know, savory meals.
Yeah. So in my first cookbook, actually, my editor tasked me with the challenge of devoting a full chapter to desserts, which was very difficult because I was used to just doing savory food on my blog. So and in my second cookbook, there's a couple of recipes for dessert and on my blog as well. I do, I infuse veggies into desserts. Mm. So, for instance, if you take zucchini bread, instead of shredding the zucchini, which takes forever and is messy, I spiralize zucchini and toss that into the bread mix so that, when you're eating it, it's really beautiful with the little swirls and noodles, So I find sort of creative ways to do that. And I do like a baked apple crisp with spiralized apples.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then, like I said before, the caramelized pears or apples, you can top that onto like ice cream or anything like that. Mm. But I've done like energy balls with spiralized rice.
Ah.
Yeah, but it definitely lends itself more to savory foods like main courses and things like that. Yeah. But you can definitely make it into, and I consider cocktails dessert. So.
Same.
Yeah.
And for holidays, I mean, it sounds like the sweet potato buns that you could make into like open face pizzas or something is a great thing to serve for people on the holidays. Do you have any other like go-to spiralized meals that you just love to make for holiday celebrations?
Yes, I love, I think one of my most popular recipes actually is my, I have a butternut squash lasagna. So you do the spiralized butternut squash slices instead of obviously lasagna noodles. And I make a lasagna that way. Those are just so easy to feed a crowd. And I have a rutabaga lasagna. It's actually vegan. It's a vegan rutabaga lasagna with kale. That's very popular.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would say that, or if it's the summertime and I'm having a potluck, I make my Italian zucchini pasta salad, which is just zucchinis made into like little macaroni slices and tossed with a bunch of, you know, dried Italian herbs and a really good dressing. And it has meat and cheese in there and artichokes and olives, but you could obviously adjust if you're plant-based. And then you cannot go wrong with zucchini noodles and pesto. That feeds a crowd always.
People love pesto.
Yeah.
It's the besto.
Yeah. I love that. Yes.
So a lot of your journey that you've shared very publicly is that you've actually lost a ton of weight once you started spiralizing like crazy. Like this wasn't just a fun thing you were doing and it tastes good or whatever. Like you've completely transformed your body and I assume your life, especially because your career has taken off as well. So can you tell us a little bit about your weight loss journey and other positive effects you've really noticed as a result of spiralizing?
Yeah, definitely. So I basically was adjusting the first year that I worked on Inspiralize, year and a half. I was adjusting to quitting corporate life and living at home, working from home. I was actually working out of my bedroom, which was terrible.
Wow.
yes. So I had the kitchen right there. I was always near the pantry. So I found myself bloating up and I gained some weight. I probably gained 10 to 15 pounds. And that really just put me in an uncomfortable weight. And I got my cookbook deal and I was starting to lose a little bit of weight, but I wasn't really applying myself as much as I should. And they basically told me a date for the cookbook photo shoot and I was going to be in the cookbook. And I said to myself, I need to feel my best if I want to be the best. So I basically said, I'm going to practice what I'm going to preach. And I'm going to start just eating these delicious, healthy recipes that I have on my blog for dinner every night. And a few, like every other day, I would eat one for lunch. And basically incorporating some moderate exercise. And I lost 30 pounds just doing that and just eating cleanly and focusing on that. And I just noticed that as I was eating all these meals, I was losing weight, but I was also just feeling energized. And I think that when people go on diets or people try to eat a bit healthier, cleaner, they're not fulfilling themselves and satisfying themselves and eating the right foods.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's hard to stick to a diet if you always are hungry. So this way of eating just fills me up. And I mean, I always say, if you had told me that I could eat spaghetti and meatballs every day of the week, at like 4 years ago, and I would lose weight, I'd be like, no way.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? So it's just a really fulfilling way to eat. And you always feel like you're eating something different. So as we've mentioned, I'll do a soup, I'll do rice, I'll do pasta, I'll do lasagna, I'll do all these different, you know, creative ways to eat these vegetables that I never feel like I'm really eating a bowl of vegetables. Mm. And it's just a really, and I used to be a vegan. I was vegan for 2.5 years. So so I'm sure we'll talk about, but,
I'm curious. Why don't you just tell me then? So yeah, what was that like? Why'd you transition? I mean, I believe if I am correct, you transitioned out of it due to wanting to test your recipes for other people's palates. Is that correct?
Yes. So basically I went, I studied abroad in Europe, my junior year of college. I got back, it was the summertime and I was living in New York City and, you know, found myself at an even heavier weight, all time high. I think I kind of lost control when I studied abroad. And then I lost control living in the city and all these bars and restaurants and everything. So I found a book on veganism, and my friend actually found it, and she gave it to me. I read it in a day and a half, and I was transformed.
What book?
And the China Study.
Okay.
And I followed up. I started reading every single vegan cookbook. I read Alicia Silverstone's The Kind Diet. I read Skinny Bitch just to read it. And I read so many books on it. And I couldn't believe that. I felt like I had been living in this ignorance. Mm-hmm. And I never knew much about nutrition and clean eating and, you know, veggie or plant-based eating. So it was really, really eye-opening. And so that was my summer between junior and senior year of college. And I just cold turkey that day. Became a vegan, and I was vegan for 2.5 years. And I basically transitioned to incorporating fish like once or twice a week into my diet. And then that was working really well for me. And then I started my blog, and I had to make the decision if it was going to be a vegan or vegetarian blog or not. Mm-hmm. And I decided that this is already like a niche topic. I don't want to
niche it. Yeah.
Double niche. So I kind of decided that I was sticking to plant-based for the wrong reasons. Like I was sticking to it because I felt like I couldn't give up on it, and I didn't want to tell people, oh, I couldn't do the vegan thing.
We have the same exact story, by the way.
Really? Yeah. I can go on forever about it, but to save it, I couldn't sustain it in my lifestyle and the place I was in that stage of my life. So I decided to just do full on everything, but I keep it mainly, I would say it's primarily plant-based. Mm-hmm. But my favorite way to eat is vegan. Mm. And I eat vegan for breakfast and lunch 99% of the time. And then dinner is a toss up. I became a non-vegan for my blog. And I remember the first dish I made. It was so disgusting. I made, because I hadn't eaten meat and I didn't know how to season it and cook it and all this stuff. So I made like literally ground turkey with salt and pepper and zucchini noodles. And it was god awful.
Oh my God. So was your husband like, honey, what is this?
Oh yeah. He was like, you got to work on this.
You're good at spiralizing, but this whole meat thing.
Exactly. So I slowly started like taking little bites, and then eventually I started just eating, I eat everything, but very moderation. I rarely ever eat red meat and things like that. It's only if it's at a dynamite Italian place in the city.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm the same in terms of, you know, clinging to that label, even though I was kind of ready to transition out of it. And then I'm in the same place as you were, where it's mostly vegan, but like fish a couple times a week. So I feel you on that. And I think it's really, I mean, not that you need like my business advice or validation, but I think it's awesome that you did not make it just vegan, because you're really encouraging everybody to just eat more plants. And that's what's most important. You know, it's not about the label. It's not about anything other than just everybody eating more plants. And you make that fun and effortless. So props to you.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely wanted to do that and to reach a broader spectrum and show people that, because what I had learned as a vegan is that you don't really limit yourself. You're opening the doors to all these different types of foods and food preparations and flavors and things like that. So I wanted to bring that out to the masses through my blog.
Yeah. So, you know, spiralizing is a very quick activity relative. So I'm just wondering, what are your kind of go-to quickest spiralized meals? You know, if it's like a weeknight and you got some plants in your fridge, like what are you going to throw together real fast?
That's a great question. I always have lentils made. I am a huge lentil freak. So I always have lentils in my fridge. And I always have something to spiralize in my refrigerator. So I usually just do, say, a spiralized zucchini. And then I'll either chop up some veggies like Brussels sprouts if I have them in my fridge, or carrots and celery, and cook them with onions with the lentils, and then just pour over a jarred pasta sauce, and then I serve it like a ragu over the spiralized veggies.
That sounds
sometimes good. Honestly, I put chickpeas and marinara sauce and kale over zucchini noodles, and that's my dinner. So, and it takes 5 minutes.
That sounds great. I'm on board with that plan.
Yeah, it's really easy. And having having pre-made meatballs and things like that in the refrigerator, or I'll do, I love Dr. Prager's veggie burgers. Mm-hmm. I'll chop those up and add them over pasta with the marinara sauce. And that's really good as well.
Do you typically cook your zucchini noodles, like saute them, or do you leave them raw?
I typically cook them unless I'm making pesto. Pesto, I like a raw noodle. And the pesto actually softens the noodles. But I would say 95% of the time I cook them in a skillet.
Okay, that's good to know. I like it better cooked myself. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but most people do.
Is it true that you, since you've launched Inspiralize, you have not cooked a bowl of regular pasta at home?
That is true, except I once cooked pasta for a picture because I did
that doesn't count.
I don't want to completely lie. I cooked it for a picture of zucchini noodles and pasta because I did a comparison of the nutritional value, and that's the last time I cooked it, and that was 2.5 years ago.
And you're Italian.
I know. Well, people ask me, do I eat regular pasta? And the answer is, of course, when I go home to my grandparents' house for Sunday dinners, I eat it. When I go to restaurants, I like to call it my market research. So it's kind of like work. I taste the pastas. And like, you can never replace gnocchi. So I'll have gnocchi and things like that. But honestly, if there's a plate of spaghetti in front of me, I don't crave regular pasta anymore. It's funny. I find that the veggies are more enjoyable before, during, and after.
Wow. Yeah, definitely the after. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
So if somebody's head is spinning right now about starting to spin noodles and they're just starting out, what plant do you think they should start with besides the zoodle? Because that's too easy.
I know. My go-to is always the zucchini noodle. The next easiest to spiralize is probably a golden beet, which is sort of rare, or I would just go with a straight up sweet potato.
That's what I would suggest too.
Yeah. I mean, sweet potatoes have great flavor and they're so good for you and they're really seasonal, especially now. Mm. So you can't really mess them up. You just toss them in a skillet and cook them for like 7 minutes and they're done. So I'd say that.
I agree. I second that. So I'm curious, do you have a second favorite kitchen tool, assuming that your Inspiralizer is your number one?
Yeah, I would say a food processor, because I think that obviously you can't make spiralized rice without a food processor. Mm. But I make my own dressings and sauces and things like that. And I think that without a food processor, it would be very hard to do so.
You do it in your processor, not a blender.
Yeah, I only have a NutriBullet. I don't have a big blender.
That's okay. I use my NutriBullet. That's like all I use.
Yeah. Yes, it's the best. Yeah. So I would say, if I'm making like a cashew Alfredo, I'll do the NutriBullet. But if I'm making a pesto or a tahini sauce, I'll use the food processor.
Cool. Okay. So now a few just like rapid fire wrap up questions.
Okay.
What is your favorite plant party restaurant?
I would say if I'm going vegan, I would say Blossom in New York City.
Okay.
Want to be creative or have a fun night out with cocktails, I'd say Dirt Candy, which is vegetarian. And then I would say if I'm not going vegan or vegetarian, I just want creative veggie food. I just actually went to Cafe Clover.
Oh, yeah.
In the West Village. And I had the most amazing spaghetti squash latkes with poached eggs. Ooh. They were amazing. So I would say Cafe Clover for just fun veggie creative food.
Yeah, it is super creative. I actually went there for my birthday with my boyfriend's parents, who are not very healthy eaters, and they complained the entire time. I was like, all right, pump the brakes. Come on. They're like, what are these seeds? Why are there seeds on the table? I'm like, it's good, man.
I hope that you enjoyed your birthday.
I freaking enjoyed it.
It's great. They have a wonderful autumn sangria that I wrote down to make a spiralized version of it with spiralized pears and apples. So I'm ganking that.
Smart. So you would just spiral it, make them into little noodles and put it in the sangria so it looks gorgeous.
Yeah. In my second cookbook, I have a ginger pear sangria. So I'm going to make this autumn version soon on the blog.
I can't wait to see that and make it. Yeah. Cool. So do you have a favorite book that has inspired you in a big way besides The Chime Study?
I mean, I love reading business books. I would say that. I mean, there's certain food bloggers who I've looked up to, like Gina Homolka from Skinny Taste.
What about your books? I have them both and I love them. Can you give us the spark notes for each of your two books?
Yes, of course. Thank you. My first book was called Inspiralized, and it's pretty much a starter guide to spiralizing. It's everything you need to know to get started, and it has about 86 recipes in the book. So it's definitely my first baby, my first love, and it's a great place to start. And my second book is called Inspiralize Everything. And it's basically organized differently. It's the same concept, all spiralized recipes, but the second book is organized by veggie. So from A to Z, apples to zucchini. If you want to find out all the spiralized recipes for zucchini, you can go to the zucchini chapter. So it's a bit more user-friendly, and there's more recipes actually. There's over 115 brand new recipes that you'll never find on my blog. And they're both amazing. I'm so proud of both of them, and they both became New York Times bestsellers.
That's so cool. So we already know that people can come to my Whole Foods in Williamsburg in Brooklyn to buy your awesome Inspiralizer, but it's also Amazonable, right?
Yeah. So we list it on Amazon. So if you just search the Inspiralizer, you should see it come up, Inspiralizer by Inspiralized. And it's on Amazon. It's on our website, inspiralized.com/shop. And it's in Whole Foods in the Northeast, in case some of you listeners live in the Northeast.
Very, very cool. And where else can people go to just get wildly inspiralized?
Well, of course, inspiralized.com, and my social media channels are all at Inspiralized, except for YouTube. For some reason, I can't figure out how to switch it to Inspiralized. So it's actually Get Inspiralized. So youtube.com/Get Inspiralized.
Okay, so thank you so much, Allie, for being my first guest on the Party My Plants podcast. We did it. You and your spiralizer magic makes healthy eating so much more fun, and I really love chatting about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope to hear from some of you guys soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you feel inspiralized as hell right now to run over to your spiralizer and stick a veggie in it. Or stick a spiralizer in your cart on Amazon. If you can think of one other human who might be thrilled to hear about having more fun with their plants, please share this episode with them. I live on zoodles and swoodles in the summer. They're easily my dinner base go-to. I also live for books in the summer. And don't forget about that terrific list of 160 plus super book recommendations that I've got sitting pretty for you. You can grab that free book list and Inspiralizer and a recap of all of Allie's favorite ways to party with plants over at partyinmyplants.com/151.